open up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door.
Live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, this is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello there! Nathan Zagura, Jason
Gibbs. What day is it?
Huh?
What day is it?
October.
Yeah, banana.
Live. Indianapolis, Lucas Oil, side of the Combine. A lot going on today, and we're going to have a lot for you. We've got to catch up with a lot of people from around the National Football League today. Big show for you. We're going to cover you on regular football. We're going to give you a special treat on the fantasy football side as well. We're going to start off 1:15 today. Sasha Brown, the executive vice president of football operations. What?
I don't know. PR is working on it.
Might change. All right.
It might change.
Are we going to have him?
Sasha Brown will be on with us.
Sasha Brown will be on the show with us today. Got a great interview. Got to spend some time with Greg Cosell from NFL Films.
Great.
We'll have that at 1:45. We've got Matthew Berry from ESPN Live, the talented Mr. Roto himself, coming on at 2 o'clock. He'll be here. We'll talk a little fantasy with him, talk about his Stern Show experiences, Michael Rapoport. There's a lot to talk about with Matthew Berry. We'll get that at 2 o'clock. We've got the Jared Goff press conference for you, recorded at 2:15. And, of course, I got a chance to catch up with former Cleveland Brown, former Philadelphia Eagles scout, and current ESPN NFL insider Lewis Riddick at 2:30. And he had a very clear bead on which quarterback he believes the Browns should select in the 2016 NFL draft. Spoiler alert, I like what he has to say. You can put that together, I would imagine, at this point.
Took you 3 minutes to spoil it.
Spoiler alert. No, not even 3 minutes. It was immediate. It was an immediate spoil. We also have an opportunity. We got Rich Gannon if we need to go there.
Yep.
We talk to him. But that'll come for the next couple of days. Jason Cole for the Bleacher Report. So just everybody, obviously, in the NFL world here descends on Indianapolis. The quarterbacks did talk today. I'll give my impressions of Jared Goff. I don't know if you were in there at all, Gibbs, but I got an opportunity to hear him. Carries himself with a lot of confidence. He is a confident kid. Basically was asked point blank about the challenge of going to Cleveland and said, I'm going to make any team I go to better immediately, and is ready to play right away, ready to sit if he has to sit. But a guy who certainly believes in himself. And I also found this out. I don't know if this was public knowledge, and if it was, sorry, I'm late to the party. He's been training with Carson Wentz. They actually have been training together in their preparation for the combine. And he said, you know, we go out there and we chuck around the pill a lot and have a good time. He likes him, thinks he's a good quarterback. But Jared Goff clearly believes he is the best quarterback in this draft. From a physical standpoint, now that you see him in his workout clothes, he is thin. But he is broad-shouldered and certainly looks like a guy who could add some bulk if he needs to. But is an athletically built guy. I wouldn't worry about that.
He came up on that podium and was a little standoffish. He's like, so I hear people are a little, they're nitpicking my hand size.
Yeah, he's like, I've always been told I have big hands, and now apparently I have tiny
hands.
In the
last 24 hours, now I have tiny hands. So yeah. I don't know what that's all about. And then he went off on something else. And then, so Pat McManaman asked him, he goes, you seem a little standoffish. He goes, I am today. He goes, do you want to be here right now? He goes, absolutely not. Like, he was just like giving it right back to people. It was good. It was a confidence. It was.
It is.
It was one of those, I know what I can do.
And I want to show it.
Yeah, I'm going to show you on Saturday what I can do.
That's
I'm going
right.
to tell everybody what I can do. And just, he took command of that podium, and he owned it for 10 minutes.
He did, and we'll have that for you again at 2:15 here on today's show. And, Gibbs, now that we've been here for a day, it seems, you know, it was the kind of the calm before the storm this morning, but business is picking up. A lot of talk about the Browns and, you know, Sashi's press conference. Let's talk about the big things that came out of that. And whenever we get to talk to Sasha, we'll obviously ask him about it. But I think the biggest piece of news, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, was that Josh Gordon basically said he's paid for his sins. He's accountable for that. Once we talk with him and are comfortable that he's on the right path, there is a spot for him here on this team. And I think that that is music to a lot of people's ears. It's certainly my basement is excited about that. But I think that would be great for the Browns.
Yeah, I thought. He said there's a roster spot. Now we're going to ask a lot of him. We're going to lay the expectations out, and
good.
If he can't follow him, he's not going to be here. And the guy's paid his debt. He had some issues. He made some mistakes. He said he was sorry. We believe that he's sorry. We're just waiting on the NFL to reinstate it.
It says a lot to me about Josh Gordon, and again, this can change at the drop of a hat, but in the time that he has been out of the game, he's constantly being tested. He has passed every single one of those tests. We've seen him, you know, we've talked about his art involvement. It just seems like he's a guy who has found something, is passionate about getting another chance. I know that he's been training incredibly hard. He was just out at Jay Glazer's facility working hard. Whereas you look at another guy, super talented receiver, similar problems, same conference, coming out of the Big 12, Justin Blackmon. And Justin Blackmon's year away, he couldn't keep himself out of trouble. And now he's not going to play in the National Football League again. So the fact that he's been able to do it when he didn't have really even the carrot there, an immediate carrot in front of him, I think speaks a lot about Josh Gordon. I was happy to hear Sashi Brown say today that there is a roster spot for Josh Gordon once he does get reinstated. He also talked – go ahead.
No. I love it. It definitely sounds like here's a guy who's motivated, who misses the game, who understands that the game can go on without him. No matter how good he is, the game doesn't need him. And he realizes, I think, he needs the game. And, yeah, very interested to see how it plays out. I mean, the question is now we're stuck waiting for the National Football League. I mean, Sashi admitted it. Like
give me a break, Raj.
At least let's get him reinstated so we can start competing in the off-season workouts
take,
and everything.
Takes a portion of that $120 million that apparently was withheld from the players. Give it to somebody to speed up this process. I mean, am I wrong?
It's almost like Roger Goodell's waiting to see if he's going to screw up.
If he hasn't this far, he's right there.
Exactly.
Anyway, hopefully he'll get in there. You want to dive into it? There is a phenomenal article right now, ClevelandBrowns.com, about it. Sashi Brown explains the situation with wide receiver Josh Gordon, details the expectations, if clear. That's the headline. Was this the work of you, Sir Andrew? Sir Andrew Gribble, penning the story at ClevelandBrowns.com.
Gribble with and one eye open right now.
He is. He's been working. He's a machine. People from around the league, around the organization, calling the work of Sir Andrew Gribble and his running buddy, Mr. Patrick Max, machine-like.
When is he clear to come on with us?
Yeah, when's that, Sir Andrew, as his boss? We'll see. We're getting a we'll see on that, but we'll bring him to you. Don't you worry.
I feel like that goes higher up.
It does. It goes above our pay grade.
I don't think that's Gribble's pay grade.
Gribble clearly,
that's a popular phrase.
Clearly flexing his muscles as this Josh Gordon story hits the paper, which is good to see. And that was the big takeaway. The other one was free agency. Talked a lot about Tashawn Gibson. Talked about Alex Mack saying, and I thought an interesting quote was, if Alex Mack's going to get his contract restructured, it will be done before he opts out. If he does get to the opt-out point, that makes it a little bit more difficult. But if they can restructure him, it should happen before he opts out. Talked about wanting to retain Mitchell Schwartz. But I thought most of the focus there seemed to be on Tashawn Gibson, which I thought was very, very interesting. He's a guy who thrived in the Ray Horton defense. If there were to be anybody, do I believe anybody on the Browns team is tag-worthy today? No. But if there was one guy that you would want to put it on, it would be Gip, because the tag there, $9 million, which is more than you probably should give him in a one-year deal, but it gives you an opportunity to give one more year. Can you regain that form? Can you get back to that Pro Bowl form? Can you stay healthy? It just buys you a little time to make a decision on Tashawn Gibson as opposed to saying, all right, we're done. Go hit the market now.
And if he can't make it through the season healthy, then you know what you have long term, and you go, well, I can't give you big money because I can't count on you for 16 games.
And I don't think it's going to happen, but that would be the one case where it would seem to me to make the most sense. The other thing, too, and I think it's going to be interesting from talking to a lot of people here, is that teams – and players are going to have to get their heads around different dollar figures than they're used to because there's so much money out there. The cap is going to continue to expand and explode, and teams are going to have to kind of recalibrate what actually does make sense at certain positions going forward.
I feel, you know, it's interesting. You know, Hugh Jackson yesterday said, we want them all back, but they have to want to come back. And if they leave, I'm not going to be upset about it. It's their right. They got to look out for their families. Sashi Brown today had a little bit different spin, I felt like, on it. He was like, we've talked to everybody. You know, Alex Mack was in the building last week. He acknowledged that Alex Mack was in the building last week. We gave him our pitch. I didn't hear anything saying, well, if they leave, they leave, or anything like that. There was no mention of people leaving. I think he feels like we made four solid pitches, and we have four very realistic chances to bring all these guys back.
It's going to come down to, as we've talked about, the value. Yeah. What do you perceive the value? Well, what do they perceive the value? And he also acknowledged that because of the coaching search and because of the GM or the head of player personnel search, that they were behind a couple weeks compared to other teams in terms of dealing with their own free agent. There's still time. I mean, you still have a couple of weeks here to get this done. I believe it was 2 weeks from yesterday, right?
Yep.
So you still have 2 weeks to get it done, and that's where I think the focus is right now once they get out of here, out of the combine.
Well, and you and I talked about it last night. You know, you just can't – you sign four guys to huge money deals. That's impacting your franchise for the next 3 or 4 years. Look, do I want Mitchell Schwartz back and Alex Mack back? Like, keep guys that contribute to your team. Do I want them back? Yes. But it has to be at a price that doesn't hamstring your organization 4 years from now when, if everything goes well, you're competing.
No question. And I think that is something that is very important. And one of the nuances of these negotiations and this process is figuring out in this new NFL what the right values are at the positions. And I think one of the things that a guy like Paul DePodesta is here to do is to assess the game of the NFL, assess the positions, and find out, okay, what positions are so critical to us winning that we are willing to overpay to keep our own there, and what positions aren't as critical, so therefore we're not going to do that. And I think that will factor into everything that the Browns do. Sashi Brown also talked about Andrew Berry and said, while he doesn't have the most experience, he is very advanced and is a guy who's got a great reputation. People I've talked to have been over the moon about Andrew Berry.
People in this building, where he came from, essentially. I mean, you walk around here and his name gets brought up and it is glowing. There are a
it's
lot
like
of people
talk that, about you, Gibbs.
No, yeah. They give you that fake smile, but yeah.
No. That's the real deal.
They might just have gas.
That's only true for babies.
Berry is very well thought of in NFL circles. And he ultimately, everybody talks about Paul DePodesta. Berry might be the wild card that really makes everything run here before it's all said and done.
Well, yeah, I think he's going to be the one at the end of the day that's ultimately, and of course he acknowledged that Hugh Jackson's going to have a lot of input, especially at the quarterback position. But Andrew Berry's the guy at the end of the day that is going to be in charge of all the evaluation and be very instrumental in setting the board from which Sashi Brown will operate and make his decision. So, yes, he has a critical role here, and it's a role that the Browns are excited and eager to have him fill. Now, we have talked to a lot of people here, so we have got a lot of insights. We're going to have a lot of interviews for you on today's show, but we also do want to make time for you. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. So you guys can jump in here, get your questions. We've kind of gotten the pulse on the quarterback situation from a lot of people here, and it is amazing. One thing is clear to me, at least as of today. Could this change? Yes. It is a two-horse race. I don't know.
Yep.
Put him on a milk carton. Paxton Lynch is like a missing man. He is not being talked about.
Don't go to sleep on him.
We've talked to literally everybody about the number two pick.
I know.
And it is Goff, and it is Wentz. And it is Wentz, and it is Goff. Paxton Lynch, he's like Marshawn Lynch right now. His sneakers seem to be on the wire.
The Carolina Panthers are officially in the house.
Ladies and gentlemen, walking by, Riverboat Ron. That's right, the Carolina Panthers.
It is a who's who here.
It is. It's what's so cool about this, and you know this, we went out tonight. We shared a nice meal of food together. We had what I would call one of the best appetizer pizzas I've ever had. It was a prime rib pizza from Harry and Izzy's.
Yes.
And then you go out and you go to the bars and you walk through and, oh, my God, there's Bruce Arians over there. And there, you know, there's Norval.
Outside of the hotel is Jerry World's bus.
And you did take a shot?
I did take a picture of Jerry World.
Yeah, you got in there with the Jerry World bus. But it is the entire NFL
is here,
has descended upon Indianapolis. And, you know, you don't see a lot of the GMs out because they're doing their interviews. And they usually run till about 11:30 midnight every single night. Teams are allowed to do 60 interviews. You got some info and intel on who's going to be talking. Some of the people that have said they will be talking with the Browns tonight, Corey Coleman, wide receiver out of Baylor, Megaquan Treadwell from Ole Miss, Goff, Cook,
Connor Cook,
Hackenberg. Yep. So, Browns doing their work at the quarterback and wide receiver position. Music to my ears. But anyway, call us up. We're off and rolling. 216-578-0850. Zagur and Gibbs live in Indianapolis. Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Now back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Now, we did a non-scientific measurement of my hand, Gibbs, using a piece of paper.
8.5 by 11 And I was the size of the paper.
And we thought from thumb to pinky.
Tip of thumb to the pinky.
I was about 10, right?
I thought so. We were surprised.
Yeah, I was surprised. It was much closer to the 11 than it was to the 8.5.
I would agree with that.
So, Jared Goff, 9-inch hands.
That doesn't mean you get your series yet.
I feel like we're building momentum, though. Don't you think that's just another piece of the puzzle?
It can't be in a game, by the way.
42 on the Wonderlic.
Pagano in the house.
42 on the Wonderlic. 10-inch hands. We're building a case here. I could make all the throws.
Did you outscore Wilhelm, by the way, in the Wonderlic?
42-21. 42
I called that, by the way. And you both laughed at me.
You went out on a limb, apparently. You called what, that I would beat Wilhelm?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wilhelm knew I was going to beat Wilhelm.
No.
In the Wonderlic?
You thought Wilhelm was going to win the Wonderlic.
No.
Yes. We talked about it in the Browns Daily studio the one
No
day.
Way.
We did.
Why would he win the Wonderlic?
Because he had tested well at the Wonderlic.
Yeah, but he got a 27 when he did it as a player, 21, which is a very good score, 21.
Correct.
The quarterback, 42.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, analytics.
21, Cameron Newton. 42. Yeah.
It'd be great if Cam Newton walked in here right about now.
It would be great. I don't think Cam Newton has to go to the combine anymore.
No, he does not.
I think he's doing just fine. But one man who is at the combine, one man who has all of the eyes of the NFL and certainly all the eyes of Cleveland on him, is Jared Goff, and he spoke with the media today. Here is his combine presser.
I just heard about that yesterday, actually. I've been told I have pretty big hands my whole life and heard I had small hands apparently yesterday. And no, I've never had a problem with that, and I don't expect it to be a problem at all.
Did you make it a focus on yourself to kind of rebound from that Utah
game? Yeah, I think so. I think that with everything that, you know, goes good or bad during the season, you kind of use it as an opportunity. And I think, you know, that game went about as bad as it can go. And I kind of use it as an opportunity to, you know, show that I can bounce back and show that I can have a little bit of resiliency to myself and to my teammates and to just everyone surrounding the program. Kind of wanted to show that and was able to bounce back a little bit. Didn't win the next game, but played better and was able to finish out the season pretty well, which I was happy about.
You talked about sort of the top quarterback in this draft. Do you feel like you have something to prove this week, or
have
you already done it?
No, I always want to go out there something to prove. I always have a chip on my shoulder and I always want to go out there and, you know, prove people wrong, prove people right, whatever it is. I just go out there and, you know, try to do my best. And by no means am I complacent at all. I want to go out there and do my best and hopefully play well.
Jared, what do you bring to the team that drafts you?
I think tremendous leadership, hardworking. I think I'm going to improve a team the day I get there. Honestly, I think I can be a guy that can play right away, a guy that, you know, can sit if I need to and learn. But honestly, I'm excited for whatever team wants to draft me, and I'm excited to make an impact right away.
What attribute makes you most ready and when you have to work on
the ball? I think my accuracy is one of my best attributes. I think, you know, I've been pretty accurate my whole life and was able to improve that at Cal even more. And then I think something I want to work on is kind of tying my feet to my upper body a little bit and kind of staying a little bit more on balance when I'm throwing. I was able to get away with some stuff, I think, in the past of maybe falling off throws or, you know, just kind of getting away with it because I was in college and I had enough arm talent to do it, but I don't expect to be able to get away with that really much longer.
Would you be excited if you drafted by Cleveland?
Absolutely, yeah, I'll be happy to go anywhere.
What do you make of Carson Wentz from Division I AA being right there with you as the number one or 1A for all of your career at Cal against better competition? What do you make of the Wentz friend?
Carson's a great player. Me and Carson have been training together now for, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, and he's a great player, hell of a quarterback, and it's going to be really good wherever he goes as well.
Training together, is there a sense of friendly competition?
Yeah, I think so. It's just like anything else. When we go out there, we throw together, and it's by no means is it like cutthroat, but, you know, we're competitive with each other, and you know, we're just trying to do our best every day. Yeah, there's obviously going to be a transition, and I think it happens. But I think there's a transition with every quarterback coming from college into the NFL, and so I'm excited for it. Honestly, I think I did a lot of stuff in college that does translate well, and then again, there's a lot of stuff that I need to improve on, and I'm excited for that, and excited to make those adjustments and that transition. Things that translate. I mean, a lot of the drop back pass stuff we did. I mean, that is included in the NFL, and third down stuff is a lot of shotgun nowadays. I mean, you see teams move more and more towards shotgun. And been doing that for a while, but at the same time, like I said, I've been training under center now for a while, for about 6 weeks. I mean, not a while, but enough where I feel comfortable with it. And again, I'm excited to further my game in that area and just get better every day. Yeah, I think so. I think I always put some weight on. I mean, I've been trying to put weight on, you know, my whole life, and have been able to do it. I've gained about 10 pounds every year now since I was about 14. So I'm 21 now, and I weighed 215. You know, maybe when I'm 24, I'll be 245. But, no, yeah, I can always, you know, improve on that. But at the same time, I mean, I was pretty durable during college and took a lot of hits, took a lot of sacks, and was able to get up from every one of them. Yeah. You know, I do remember being recruited by him. I was at Stanford on their junior day, I think, and maybe a couple other unofficial visits, and have a good relationship with him. And he was good to me, and you know, I'm excited to talk to him while I'm here.
Quarterbacks are starting to go into the league so much more of an emphasis on fundamentals. That's something I'm sure that you've gone through the ranks, you've been able to work on. What would you say is the key to be able to maintain those fundamentals under pressure and duress within the pocket?
I think just repetition every day and just kind of getting that consistency. That's something that the great ones do, I think, is, you know, just never get complacent, always trying to get better. And you see the guys that are the best, you know, guys like Brady and Rodgers and Peyton, always working, you know, and always trying to get better, always trying to improve their game. And I think that's what, you know, can separate yourself and make you more consistent. Yeah, I've talked to a few guys. It's been great. I mean, the guys I've reached out, I've really appreciated it all and given me some great advice just to try to enjoy it. Like this process especially, you know, just the whole draft process and the combine process, just enjoy it and be yourself and have as much fun as you can, because it can be tiresome and, you know, you can, you know, run out of gas at times, but just try to enjoy it as much as you can and soak it all in. And they gave me some advice as far as, you know, football goes and stuff to expect in the transition and stuff to, you know, be ready for. I have not met with the Browns yet. I know he's a great coach. I know he's a great offensive mind. I know he's done a lot of great stuff with quarterbacks. Again, I've not met him, but I'm excited to meet him and get a chance to talk to him.
Playing inclement weather is always a question for natives to California. Give us an idea of the worst place you played
weather-wise. Yeah, Oregon my freshman year. It was a monsoon, so it was pretty bad. Cold.
Notre Dame,
yeah.
Wide receiver.
No, not warm. But I mean, you've seen quarterbacks from California do it over and over. I mean, Brady plays in New England, Aaron plays in Green Bay, Carson Palmer played in Cincinnati for forever. So it's been done before.
More so than the hands or the fumbles over your career,
you've had to address a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how many fumbles I had in my career, but it was never really addressed as an issue while I was playing there. How many did I have this year?
Four.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, my freshman year we went 1-11, so you know, wasn't going very well. Probably had a bunch that year, but you know, I think I improved on that. If I had 23 total and had four this year, so.
Did that year toughen you? I mean,
it was definitely, you know, a learning experience and taught me a lot. Taught me a lot about, you know, football, and had to grow up, had to mature, had to, you know, kind of become the leader of the team that next year, and was able to go through it with a lot of great guys, a lot of great teammates that, you know, were there at the end as well this past year, and when we were able to be successful. And but yeah, it taught me a lot, and I'm very grateful for that experience for sure. It's been a part of my football journey that I'll definitely look back on, and it's something that helped me. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've played football my whole life and never had any problems.
Two more if you got them.
Stanford wide receiver Devin Cajus, table one. Stanford wide receiver Kevin Devin Cajus,
thanks,
table
guys.
One.
Why do you have the confidence that you could go in there and
sort of change the narrative? Well, I think it starts with Coach Jackson. I think he's a great coach, and I think that if he ends up, you know, choosing me or whoever quarterback he ends up choosing or whatever way they end up going, I think he's gonna be able to make a guy successful. I think he's a great coach, a great offensive mind, and a great quarterback guy. And then as far as myself, I'm confident in my abilities wherever I go. Honestly, I think I'm very confident. I'm not gonna stand up here and, you know, tell you everything about myself, but I'm confident and I think I can be successful anywhere. How tough would it be? You know, I mean, it's a give and take. I mean, you've seen guys do it before and be extremely successful with it, and then you've seen the opposite, and it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But I mean, you always want to play, but at the same time, you know, if that's a situation you go into, it's the situation. You get better and you deal with it, and you go through the couple of years or whatever it is, and do your best and continue to be ready whenever the time's called.
What did you learn at Cal about helping the program turn it around?
I learned how you kind of have to start from the ground up. And honestly, it starts with hard work. Hard work in the off season and no shortcuts, really. I mean, we were 1-11. We were terrible. We lost every single game besides the game against Portland State. We got blown out in every game and had to really, you know, start from the floor and build everything back up. And we're able to go 8-5 this year and win a bowl game. It was tremendous, and it's a testament to our hard work, I think.
That was Jared Goff. I like it. Confident, little swagger, and a little bristling. You want to talk about my fumbles? How many I have this year? 4. Not so bad, huh? Okay.
To be up there right now? No.
We were 1-11 in my freshman year. Not a whole lot went right. Fair. And a guy who I like the fact that he's played since day one. He's dealt with adversity. He's gotten better. And remember, the only other quarterback to be taken in the top 2 in NFL history, at least when we looked up at it, with a losing record, John Elway. California boy, Bay Area guy, maybe. I'm saying Jared Goff's John Elway. Don't even say that because that's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I do like the guy, and I thought he carried himself well up there. And so
another guy that sounds pretty driven. I believe Carson Wentz just walked in.
He sounds very driven, always working. I always feel like I have something to prove.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think that.
I think the knocks on him when people start picking him apart, I think it's just making him angry and driving him more.
I like it, too. So you want to talk about my hands? Just wait. Let's go ahead and see me throw the football on Saturday, and then we'll see if you're worried about my hands anymore. And by the way, as people have pointed out, many people, the NFL football, not quite as wide as the college football, the way that it's oriented, shaped, etc. So I don't think it's going to be an issue for Jared Goff, but it's something that bears watching. It's something that you want to look at. And if you're a scout, if you're a home scout, what you want to do is go through that Cal schedule, go look at the games where maybe the weather was a little bit less than ideal, where it was windy, and see if how much that impacted Jared Goff. And that's something that you certainly can take a look at. Obviously, if you don't have access to the film, Draft Breakdown does a very good job. A lot of people use that for their home scouting, draftbreakdown.com. So that's something that you can go check out on your own. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines for calls and tweets. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Are we going to maybe throw a little sound at him? Maybe a little Rich Gannon? Maybe a little,
definitely.
Little Rich Gannon sound at him?
Of course.
So we can do that and take your calls when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR live from the Combine.
There ain't no secrets anymore. My name's been hanging on.
Now back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live here at the Combine in Indianapolis. Braxton Miller, the Ohio State Buckeye quarterback turned receiver turned best athlete in the world, as many people are saying, as the hyperbole train gets out of control. We may take some of his press conference as he is at the podium right now. But before we do it, let's go to James. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, I was just wondering, how is Cardell Jones just dismissed from this conversation? I think his resume is stronger than all these guys. Also, he didn't just come in and win one game. He ran through three teams, top competition. Plus, his mental strength is never put into the game, because I saw where he didn't. He just was able to forget the last play, come back, throw the ball, running and passing. But, I mean, I'm not saying he's the guy, but just for him to be dismissed from the total conversation, I want to see how he stacks up this weekend against these guys.
James, I'm excited to see what he does this weekend. He weighed in at 253, which we'll get to in just a minute. But why do you think he's got a good enough body of work? I'm not taking anything away from those three awesome games the year they won the national championship. But
what happened this year?
What do you do this year? That offense struggled.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what did the other guys on these other teams do? That was top level competition he played against. Also,
this year?
Well, I mean, he did win. But this is the thing: all these guys, the thing about not being able to read defenses. I don't think any of these guys is ready for that. They all got to be coached up to it. But the thing I'm just saying, I don't hear his name. He gets no shout.
That's what I wonder about.
That's because he is not considered to be that kind of a talent by everybody in the NFL and everybody who evaluates this position, the most important position in the league. He's considered to be a guy that's a big-time project that has great physical gifts. But at the end of the day, you know, Jamarcus Russell had tremendous physical gifts. Ryan Leaf had tremendous physical gifts. You got to look for guys that are able to process information. And I think right now the biggest hang-up for Cardale Jones is that you could tell from the pocket he was not quick to process information and make good decisions with the football. And that ultimately is what led to his removal as the starting quarterback at Ohio State. And Greg Cosell, we're going to hear from him later on in the show. And one of the things he said that I thought was so interesting is you can look at all the different offenses. There's no college offense that translates directly to the NFL. But what you look at is how well do they execute the concepts that they are asked to execute. And I think that was one of the things where Cardale Jones did struggle, especially once people got the book on him. And his teammate, Braxton Miller, is at the podium right now, and we'll go to that live.
Yeah, you know, you wish for it. So the opportunities that I had, I was going to make the best of them. So I can control what I can control, and that's what I did throughout the whole season. And I'm just blessed, you know, to just play the game again and be, you know, top at the position that I just, you know, did a year. So, man, a lot, you know. Reading the defenses, how, you know, you can point out things before, you know, the play even starts. And that's what, you know, the team's always surprised by. Like, I know it all from, you know, just playing quarterback standpoint. So it ties in a receiver a lot, too. Yeah, I've been, for the last couple of nights, I've been watching Julio Jones. I like the way he played the game. And, you know, he's gifted. You know, that's why I really want to perfect my game after up. And, you know, just keep working. And, you know, the sky's the limit. So.
Two more guys. How valuable was your week in Mobile? It felt like got quite a bit of buzz coming out of the combine.
That's what I wanted to do. That was my goal. And, just to show everybody, you know, I'm capable of doing whatever, you know, any receiver in the country can do. And that's what I wanted to do. I was going to make sure my name's in the mix and all that good talk that's going on. And I want to prove that, and that's what I did. Do I think? Oh, yeah, I know for sure. For sure. Yeah. You know, the way I work.
That was Braxton Miller, a guy that a lot of eyeballs are going to be on at the Combine. Many think might be the best pure athlete in this draft, and a guy with a strong Combine who could easily vault himself into the first round as he had to build off of that very good showing at the Senior Bowl. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Joe in Fort Lauderdale. Joe, can we trade you weather right now? We're here in Indianapolis, snow, blustery, cold. You're down there in sunny Fort Lauderdale. How you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. The weather's nice. Don't worry about that, Nathan. Listen, hey, I don't understand why Cardale's not getting love neither, man. And you know, and these are the same scouts who gave Johnny all the love.
Why do you think he should get love? And I'm not trying to deter from the young man. Why should he be getting as much love as Carson Wentz and
you're
Jared Goff?
On him. Carson Wentz, who's he competing against? Or Wyoming Community College?
Who did Joe Flacco compete against?
Who cares?
Well, it's kind of relevant if you're saying that just because you play at that level, you can't be a good NFL quarterback. Joe Flacco played the exact same level.
Nathan, with all due respect, you're the guy who was in love with Johnny, and your opinion can't count no more. So, on quarterback.
And with all due respect, you're an ignoramus, my friend. I was into Teddy Bridgewater in that draft, not Johnny Manziel. So, goodbye. Let's go to Andy in Mansfield. Andy.
How y'all doing?
Good, man.
I'm going to come at it from just a little bit different angle. I think Cardell, obviously, I don't think he's a first-round talent, but I don't think he should be brushed to the wayside, and here's why.
Nobody's brushing him to the wayside.
I would take a flyer.
If we did two quarterbacks, yep. I'd be happy to take Goff and then take Cardale Jones. We're talking about the Browns right now. We're talking about the number two pick in the draft. Cardale Jones isn't in that discussion, but is he a quarterback with traits and talents and physical gifts that are worth looking at and exploring?
He's a project.
Absolutely,
though.
But he's a little bit of a project.
And here's why I would be excited if the Browns did take a flyer off. If you look at the three-game gauntlet that he ran when Ohio State won the playoff, who did he have as his offensive coordinator talking him through? And then last year, I attribute most of the struggles of the Ohio State offense, because if you watch tape from the season, they did not look like themselves until the Michigan game. And what happened? They moved Ed Werner up to the offensive booth.
It's a great point.
A good offensive coordinator. And his offensive coordinator, Tom Herman, went down to Houston and had Houston competing for a playoff spot. So I think if you put Hugh Jackson and maybe take a flyer on Cardale Jones, not in the first round, but take a flyer on him, I honestly think Hugh could actually, you know, whisper some great things out of Cardale Jones.
Again, I'm all for it.
I agree. That's a good call, man.
I think that the Cleveland Browns need quarterback help now. I have been a proponent, and I've said it the whole time, even though some people think my opinion doesn't matter. I've said it the whole time.
I agree.
I believe the Browns should take two quarterbacks. You keep taking quarterbacks until you have a quarterback. Now, do I think that Goff can be that guy? Yes. Do a lot of people seem to think Wentz can be that guy? Yes, they do. I do believe, however, that Cardale Jones has some traits, but he's just not in the discussion to be the number two overall pick. And that's not something that you have to get mad at us about on Cleveland Browns Daily. I know that we love Buckeyes, and Buckeyes can do no wrong, but this is an NFL-wide thing. Now, do they miss? Was Tom Brady evaluated at that level? No, but Tom Brady wins with his ability to process information. He didn't have the physical gifts. We've seen plenty of guys with great physical gifts. We've seen some of them come through Cleveland. Brandon Whedon, in terms of his ability to purely throw the football, he could do it all. Cardale Jones has a lot of development to do. He has not started as many games as other people. But I think it is interesting because, and even Disco Puma raised a question, who has proven more, Wentz or Cardale Jones? You could say Carson Wentz has won FCS championships, but you look at Cardale Jones, he did have that nice stretch
and where he
led them to it. What I say is it's about what the NFL people think, evaluates, and translate. Cardale Jones has a lot of those things, but I think what the biggest question mark with him is, can he do the things from the pocket that are required of an NFL quarterback game in and game out? Was it also a fact in his three-game run there really wasn't a book on Cardale Jones yet? And you were playing, by the way, on a team that is going to send more people, you know, in the first round of the draft than maybe any team in history, an unbelievably talented team. Cardale in his second year didn't take that leap forward that you would have wanted to see, and I think that's part of it. But are the skills there? Is the clay there that can be molded? Yes, but as we'll hear from Lewis Riddick later in the show, a lot of the stuff you don't know about a quarterback, you can't learn until you get to talk with them, put them on the whiteboard, and see them work. And one of the things Greg Cosell was talking about is how well did he implement the concepts he was asked to implement? And I would say Cardale regressed in that regard in year number two. That's a concern.
Could be coaching.
And is there talent there? Of course there is. That's why he's here, and that's why he won
the national championship.
That's why he will be drafted. If Cardale wanted to be a first-round pick or a second-round pick, he should have come out last year because the unknown was working for him. The more known about him, the more that you see, yes, there is that talent, but you also see the concerns.
And now you're seeing the experts saying day two, maybe even day three.
Maybe.
You know, second, third, maybe even a fourth-round pick.
Interesting. I can't believe that this is unbelievable. Now I was a Johnny Manziel guy in that draft. I mean, the sun's getting to you in Fort Lauderdale. I'm jealous of that fact.
With no due respect.
By the way, anytime you phrase
yes.
a question – or you lead a question off with all due respect, you're about to say something disrespectful, don't even say it. Just come out and own it and just ask the question.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite things when people do that. With all due respect. No, you mean with no due respect. Just get to it.
Yeah, just get to it. Just that's fine. Nobody's saying you have to be respectful.
Right.
Just say it. Let's go. All right. 216-578-0850. When we come back, we will hear from Rich Gannon. We'll also take your phone calls as well. Right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the Combine in Indianapolis.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Now, back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, live on location in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium for the 2016 NFL Scouting Combine. Now, we had a chance to catch up with Rich Gannon, one of the great quarterbacks, and we asked him his opinion on that position and what the Browns should do, and here is that sound.
Rich, today or this weekend, they're going to go out there and throw. How important is it to see these guys side by side by side competing out there?
Oh, I think it's important. I think you want to see the ball come out of their hand. I think you want to see their arm talent. I think you want to see them compete. And more importantly, the physical is going to be really important. But I think the opportunity to spend some time with them, that 15-minute interview that each of the teams get with the top prospects, I think is really important, a chance to get to know them a little bit and put them through the ringers.
9-inch hand size, is that a deal breaker to you?
No, I have small hands, so I don't think so. I think, you know, you watch the way that the quarterback throws the football. You watch it, how it comes out of his hands. Then you go back and watch the college tape of maybe some games, bad weather games, and see how he handled the wind or rain or snow or sleet, whatever it is. That's important, particularly playing in a city like Cleveland and in a division like that where you got to play outdoors against Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore.
When you think about the way that the NFL game has evolved, what are the most important traits in a quarterback in the 2016 National Football League?
Well, we can get carried up about the spread and all these different offenses that these guys play in, but at the end of the day, I think it comes down to a couple of real key intangibles. Toughness at that position is paramount. Great leadership skills, the ability to overcome adversity, high football IQ, a guy that can handle a lot of volume, handle different game plan. You know, Hugh Jackson's going to give these quarterbacks a lot of freedom and flexibility at the line of scrimmage in his system to get out of protections, change plays. You want a guy that can handle that and absorb that type of volume, and you know, a guy that's not going to be overwhelmed by the enormity of the situation of going to a place like Cleveland and trying to, you know, make that part of his legacy, turning that organization around.
What are your thoughts if you've gotten to do some study on Jared Goff and Carson Wentz?
I like both of them. I mean, I think this next couple months will really determine, you know, who goes in front of the other. I think both will be first round picks. You know, Goff played in obviously the bigger conference. Both these guys have size. I think Goff's a guy that's going to get a little bit stronger, and once he gets into a good strength and conditioning program at this level. Carson Wentz is a really interesting player. I got a chance to watch a lot of him. I live in Minnesota. I follow that program pretty closely. And, you know, guy's a winner. And, you know, people say, well, he didn't play at the major, you know, major college level in terms of the FBS. But, look, he won a lot of football games, shows great toughness, great grit. He's got really good arm talent, make all the throws. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I'm pretty sure this one of them is going to wind up in Cleveland.
I think you're right, Rich. Thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. Yeah, good to see you.
All right, that was Rich Gannon. Interesting take on the quarterbacks there. We know you guys want to talk. We've got Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto from ESPN, coming up at 2 o'clock, so we'll get to him. But let's quickly go to the phones. We'll start with Mike in a car.
Dale.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, I was going to talk about Cardell, but I've been thinking more about the franchise tag and a few players that would qualify for it because they're unrestricted free agents. I think Mitchell Schwartz is an interesting case. I know it's extraordinarily expensive to tag him. He costs like $13.5, $14 million. But with the fact that they're probably going to be drafting a quarterback with the number two pick, and you look at all the positions that, you know, they are not secure and the depth they have on the offensive line, I think it's extraordinarily important to protect that investment and to retain, you know, a all-pro type talent tackle, Mitchell Schwartz. I know it's expensive. I know it's going to take up a lot of cap space, but I think I think at the end of the day, you know, spend $3 million more on him as opposed to tagging a guy like Tayshaun Gibson where we have more depth at safety. I think it's a better choice. I don't know what you think about it, though.
You know, I think that it's an interesting thing. I think with Gibson, you have a guy who played 1 year at a very elite level, went to the Pro Bowl, and so you're buying time to see if he can do it again if you were to use the tag. Which, of course, you know what you're getting. The guy hasn't missed a snap. He's very solid, not spectacular, hasn't been to a Pro Bowl. He's not that kind of a guy, but he's very good. So I just have a tough time justifying paying him like the best right tackle in the National Football League when he isn't that kind of a guy. To your point, though, if you're going to make this investment in a quarterback, if you do have to overpay somewhere, is it to do it at the line position where you help keep him upright? I think you could end up getting a deal done with him without franchising him, and that's what I would want for Mitchell Schwartz. Let's go to Frank in Ra-cha-cha-cha-cha. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Nathan. What's up, Gibbs?
Hey, Frankie.
Hey, listen, yeah, man, one thing, that guy that called and gave you all that trash, Nathan, you know, I'm a Browns fan. I don't live in Ohio, though, so I don't live and die with Ohio State.
Sure.
Got to get off this bandwagon stuff with Ohio State players. What I really want to know from you guys is, you've been there. Is there anybody that you've seen so far that really catches your eye? And I don't mean just the quarterback. I mean, is there somebody that catches your eye in the draft that you really think, wow, he would be something on the Browns?
And
I'm going to hang up and listen to what you got to say.
Hey,
you guys have a good one.
You too,
right,
buddy.
I'll tell you who it is for me, and this has come from starting to watch him, and I started really at the Senior Bowl, and I, you know, Scotty Buckeye has been talking about this guy for a long time, and the guy that I think in this draft might actually be the most talented, and when it's all said and done, if he can keep out of trouble. And that's why I think it's tough for the Browns to ever think about him. But I really believe that you're looking at a guy in Noah Spence who is going to be a dominant defensive player. And he really has caught my eye. I hope he does not go in this. That's what I hope. I hope he does not go in our division in the AFC North. I hope you don't hear about Noah Spence lining up opposite Terrell Suggs for the Baltimore Ravens. That's not what I want. Fortunately, we have heard that we will not be having Sashi Brown today. Hopefully tomorrow here we will have him. But when we come back, the talented Mr. Roto, Matthew Berry from ESPN, will join us live here at the Combine in Indianapolis.